Amen, amen. Well, good morning. Good to see all of you here this morning, 15 minutes later, so everybody's really rested today, right? Everybody's ready? It's good to see all of you this morning. Welcome home. Welcome home to all those that are online today. If you're new and we haven't met, my name's Kyle. I'm one of the pastors here. Have just a couple celebrates today. One, Adam briefly mentioned it, but let's welcome all of our kids to church today. We're glad you guys are here with us today. You guys are important, and we love having you with us. And the second thing is, I just wanted to celebrate today and say thank you to all of those who helped support the rummage sale and prayed for that. The trip to Tampa Bay is fully funded. Isn't that awesome? We raised over $4,500 on the rummage sale alone, so that is awesome. And I wanted to say, Mel Brennan, I know you don't like attention, but would you stand real quick? Come on, Mel. Mel put all this together, so we want to say thank you to Mel. If I wanted you to feel awkward, I'd have you come up and say something, Mel. We won't do that. But anyway, thank you so much. I know we've had several fundraisers, and the students really appreciate it, and we're excited about what God's going to do there. We're also excited about the series we're in. Pastor Adam did a great job last week unpacking Acts chapter 2, and we've been talking about, in the book of Acts, the actions of the apostles. These were the disciples trained by Jesus to go and share the message of God with others. And I love the book of Acts. It's not something we've covered a lot lately, but it tells about the days of the early church and how things got started. Sometimes my kids will ask me or ask my wife, hey, how did you and mom meet? I want to hear about that. Or tell me about the day I was born. Like, we kind of want to know the genesis of things, how things started. And really, this whole book is kind of talking about how the church grew. Well, last week when Adam was done speaking, the church had grown to 3,000 people. Peter had got up and he preached this amazing message. And what was so cool was Peter was someone who initially, you know, he had a lot of vigor and zeal, but he'd made an epic failure when he denied Jesus three times. And then in John 21, Jesus reinstates him. And just around 50 days after he had failed Jesus, he's standing there preaching to a group of people, and 3,000 people come to know Christ. So we're just kind of walking through the book of Acts over the next few weeks. This will actually run through, I believe, the first week of August. So there's a lot there. And so we're going to talk today about an encounter that Peter and John have. They're on the way to the temple to pray, and as they're on their way to the temple, they encounter this beggar. And actually, Scripture talks about one beggar, but the reality is there was probably a lot of beggars that were outside the temple. And here's what Luke writes. He says, Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. It's kind of interesting that they mention 3 o'clock. A lot of times they would pray several times a day. And here's what it says. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day, along with others that were there, each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for what, church? Money. Yeah, you got any money? He asked them for some money. Well, the Bible tells us that Peter and John, they look at him intently, and Peter says, look at us. And the lame man looks at them eagerly, probably expecting what some, probably not all, but some would occasionally do for him. He's looking at them, looking for a handout. But Peter says, I don't have any silver or gold for you. Now, in just a second, we're going to read the next part, which is really important, which is what this whole message is around today. But just for a second, imagine this guy is used to getting money, if somebody's going to give him something. And the first thing out of Peter's mouth, after he looks at them intently, is, I don't have any money for you. And you can imagine this guy's like, well then, move it along, right? But here's what he says. He says, but I will give you what I have. Let's read it. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk, right? Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand, and he helped him up. And as he did, listen to this, the man's feet and ankles were instantly what? Healed and strengthened. And Scripture says that he jumped up, stood on his feet, and he began to walk. Now, I grew up going to my grandmother's church out in the country, and they would have VBS every year. Adam knows where I'm going with this. I'm going to do the dorky song, okay, Adam? That's what I'm going to do. All right, so, and then we would always, they would tell this story in VBS. All right, do you want me to sing it for you? Yeah? All right, be honest. Okay, all right. And they would say, they went walking and leaping and praising God, and the kids would just go crazy. Okay, I was one of those kids, right? But this is where this comes from. Because the man gets up. My American Idol debut is over. The man gets up, and he goes walking and leaping and praising God, going into the temple with them. This guy comes in looking for some cash to manage his situation, and Peter sees past his immediate need and heals his real need. Amen? Isn't that how God works? And then it says this, all the people saw him walking around and they heard him praising God. And when they realized that he was the lame beggar they had seen often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. This guy could have been a beggar for 40 years. People knew who he was. They saw him day after day sitting there begging alongside the road with other beggars, doing his thing. And all of a sudden, he has this encounter with Christ, and his legs are stable, and he's not just kind of, you know, walking around. I mean, he's walking and leaping and jumping, which some of us can't even do that, right? He's doing these things. Scripture says they were absolutely astounded. Verse 11 says, they all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. What an amazing story. We're going to look at some stuff from that today and see how it applies to our life. First of all, the beggar asked for a handout and got a healing instead. Amen? The beggar asked for a handout and he got a healing instead. In fact, this is what we can grab from that today. What we need isn't always what we think we need. Amen? Man, sometimes we want things and feel like this is what God wants for us. And the reality is, it may be what he wants for us, but oftentimes it's not what he has for us. So the question becomes, can we trust God to give us what we need when we need it? Can we trust God to give us what we need when we need it? Let's read it together. Trust God to give you what you need when you need it. Man, that's hard, isn't it? Because oftentimes we kind of like to be the ones that kind of do all the predicting. Paul can relate to that. He writes this in Philippians chapter 4. He says, you know, he's kind of like in this reflective mindset. He says, I've learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned, listen to this, I say this for our young people. I remember when I was young and there'd be older preachers saying young people, I always thought they were old. Now I'm the one saying it. Listen, young people, and all of us, I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is full, whether it's with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or a little. Let's read the next verse. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Everything through who, church? Through Christ. Paul's saying, listen, I've been shipwrecked. I've had all kinds of good things happen to me. I've had horrible things happen to me. I've learned that the secret of life, regardless of what's going on, is that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Someone needs to hear that today. Maybe this morning you're trying to do it in your own strength. Maybe you're online this morning. You're trying to do it in your own strength. Be reminded today, it's not in our strength. It's not by our might. It's not by our power. But it's by his Spirit, says the Lord. So that's kind of the story where Peter heals the beggar. But after that happens, some really important stuff happens. In fact, when we preach on Acts chapter 3, a lot of messages will stop there. But the reality is, there's a little bit more there. In fact, in Acts chapter 3, verse 12 through 25, remember just a minute ago, the last two words of that sentence where they're astounded in amazement. They're just like, I cannot believe this is Larry. I know Larry. Larry's been here for years sitting beside the road begging. And now he's healed and people are just blown away. In fact, maybe you could think of someone you know who maybe it's not necessarily needs healing, but in need of Jesus. And you would say, if I was going to invite someone to church, this is the last person that would show up. And then they show up. It's kind of the same thing, just amazement. Well, Peter, he takes the opportunity to preach. And I'm going to just, we're going to walk through this scripture in just a minute. But he takes the opportunity because he sees that it's the right time. Remember a few series ago we talked about that people are more open to God and they're more open to Jesus if they have a habit, a help. What is it? Habit, helps, and hurts, right? If they got a hurt going on, if they have a habit going on, if they need help, they're more open to God, they're more open to church. Peter recognizes these people are open right now because they've seen a miracle. The same Peter that failed Jesus. The same Peter that was impulsive, the same Peter that was getting it wrong earlier is now taking the opportunity. And I'm just going to read this. We don't have it on the screen. I'm just going to read this to you. Listen to this, beginning with verse 12. Peter, chapter 3, verse 12. Peter sees an opportunity and addressed the crowd. People of Israel, he said. So he's talking to all these people who just witnessed this miracle. What is so surprising about this? And why stare at us through... Though we had made this man walk by our own power of godliness? Verse 13, for it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all our ancestors, who has brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this. Can you see Peter preaching this to all these people? This is the same Jesus that you handed over and rejected before Pilate, despite Pilate's decision to release him. Pregnant pause. You rejected this holy, righteous one and instead demanded the release of a murderer. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this fact. Now remember, they're in a different place. They just saw this miracle. They're open. They're open. Through faith in the name of Jesus, this man that you just witnessed was healed. And you know how crippled he was before, which is an inference, an implication to basically say, you've seen him, you know him. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. And then he says this, chapter 3, verse 16, which we have all these notes on the Bible app or on the Church Center app if you want to grab that too. He says, through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. And you know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. Friends, I realize that what you and your leaders did to Jesus was done in ignorance. But God was fulfilling what all the prophets had foretold about the Messiah, that he must suffer these things. Now here's where it gets to the good part. Verse 19. He says, now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord, and he will again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah. For he must remain in heaven until the time for the final restoration of all things, as God promised long ago through his holy prophets. You remember Moses? Moses said that the Lord your God will raise up. Man, he's just preaching. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. Listen carefully to everything he tells you. Remember when Moses said, anyone who will not listen to that prophet will be completely cut off from God's people? Starting with Samuel, every prophet spoke about what is happening today. Now think about that. Starting with Samuel, every prophet spoke about what you witnessed happen today just a minute ago. You are the children of these prophets, and you are included in the covenant of God promised to you by your ancestors. Just a couple more verses. For God said to Abraham, through your descendants, all the families on earth will be blessed. When God raised up his servant Jesus, he sent him first to you people of Israel to bless you by turning each of you back from your sinful ways. So he finishes up this message. And remember, when Adam spoke last week, we left the church at 3,000 people. 2,000 more people were saved after Peter's message. The church grew from 3,000 to 5,000, and the scripture says, not including women and children. All because a man's life was changed. Folks, when someone's life is changed, that's transforming, not only for them, but for others. Amen? So Peter heals this beggar who's been lame for 40 plus years. The people witness it. Peter preaches another fire message. 2,000 more people get saved. But it took some boldness, because while 2,000 people got saved that day, Peter knew he was going to set off a firestorm with the religious. In fact, what takes place is when these religious people, these priests and religious people, Sadducees, they hear what's happened, they bring Peter and John before the council. In fact, they arrest him, and they bring him before the council, and here's the question they ask him. By what power and whose name have you done this? And here's what Peter says. He gets another message going. We've got this one on the screen. He says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, says to them, rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? He's just going to preach again. When you know who you are, man, you can stand in front of people and be bold. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of people walking around who don't know who they are and don't really know who they serve. And when you don't know who you are and you don't know who you really serve and you're not sure if God is really your God and you really don't give him all, it's real easy to back off. But Peter knows who he is and, more importantly, knows in whom he believes. And he looks at these people who have the authority to not only arrest him but to execute him. And he says, rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want us to know? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed, let's read it, by the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, the man, now this is bold, the man that you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. In other words, he's saying, you guys got it wrong. He is who he says he was. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures where it says, the stone, some of you might recognize this, the stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else. I shared with you years ago, I've shared it many times, I worked with this bank teller. She said, don't you think there's many ways to God? There's not many ways to God. There's one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. He is the only way to God. And Peter's telling them that. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. It's a lot of scripture, but good stuff today. The members of the council, they're amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men, let's read it, with no special training in the scripture. They also recognized them as the men who'd been with Jesus. But since they could see that the man who had been healed is standing right there among them, there's nothing the council could say. They can't argue that a man who had been lame for 40 years is now walking around. Can I tell you something else? When you're telling someone about Jesus, people can't argue your testimony. They can't debate what God has done in your life. Amen? So I'm going to paraphrase a couple things. It says, so they ordered Peter and John out of the council chamber, and they talked among themselves. They warned Jesus to stop speaking about anybody in Jesus' name again. And Peter's still bold. Like you'd think, okay, he got away with this message. He got away with saying all these things. You kind of walk away. And Peter and John, they get one more thing in. Because basically they say, well, you guys can go, but hey, don't be talking about Jesus anymore, especially not in his name, all right? Peter and John, they didn't have to say anything. They could have just walked out and done it anyway. But no, Peter and John, they say, do you really think? You know if your parents say that to you, right? They start with, do you think? Or you're like, okay. Do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? Let's read it. We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. And the council then threatened them further, but they finally let them go because they didn't know how to punish them without starting a riot. Listen to this. For everyone was praising God for this miraculous sign, the healing of a man who had been lame for more than how long? 40 years. Church, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. We go through, just our little group, our pastoral staff on Mondays, we go through and we pray for you guys. Different things that are going on that you've requested, or maybe we know a situation. We go and we pray, and some of you do the same. You have a prayer list of people that you pray for, and sometimes they're huge, massive prayers, physical related, right, or salvation related, and it's always so awesome when you're praying for something, you hear somebody say, yeah, hey, they came through surgery okay. Like, you know, hey, this marriage is restored, whatever it might be. And when those things don't happen, we continue to pray and we continue to seek God. But folks, when we pray in the name of Jesus, there is power. Listen to what Philippians chapter 2, this is one of my favorite books in the Bible, Philippians. Paul writes that God elevated him, meaning Jesus, to the place of highest honor and gave him the what? Above what? Above all other names, that at the name of? Every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue declare, let's read it, that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus can transform any life through his Holy Spirit. But there's one thing that when we think of, when we're praying for others, or maybe we're trying to figure out how we can have a better relationship with Jesus, there's one thing really that we need to think about that enables this to happen. And that's surrender. It's hard for God to do what he wants in us if our heart's full of ourself and full of pride. It requires a surrender. Surrender to God's Spirit is what led Peter and John to minister to the lame beggar. I mean, think about that. How many of us, I'll go first, I'll say I stink first. There's been times where God's pricked my heart to talk to someone and I didn't do it. And I would bet with people online and some of you here today, you haven't always, every single time said jump, that you've always jumped. And can I tell you today that Peter and John, they were willing to encounter this man and give this man not what he was looking for. Some of us are people pleasers. Well, if I tell him I don't have anything for him, then he's going to be disappointed. He says, man, I don't have money for you, but I can tell you what I do have. I have Jesus. And in his name, you can be healed. Surrender to God's Spirit is what led Peter and John to minister to the lame beggar. Surrender to the Spirit is what led to Peter's sermon. I mean, how many of us are like, I can't preach that. I'm not qualified to do that. God, I mean, I've failed. I'm not qualified to get up here and preach to all these people. Jesus, I failed you. No, that's not what Peter was focused on. He was focused on what God had for him. Surrender is what led to his sermon. Surrender is what led to 2,000 more souls getting saved. Surrender is what produced courage to stand up to the religious leaders. You guys remember that, don't you? Haven't you ever said before, I'm telling you that was from God because I wouldn't do that. That is not me. I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I held my tongue. I'm going to tell you right now, I was going to say something, but the Lord, just the Spirit got a hold of me and I just couldn't do it. And surrender is what led to a spirit of unity among the believers. If you read farther in that chapter, I'm not going to read through that, but there was a spirit of unity among the people. Folks, surrender is how we're filled with God's Spirit. Surrender is how we work and walk in His Spirit. Surrender is how love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control can take root in our hearts. It's through surrender. Amen? So here's my question today as the band comes up this morning. Am I surrendered to Jesus? Can I trust him for what I need while I let go of what I think I need? That's big, isn't it? Man, and can I be real with you? Most of us try to do that second question, we try to do both. We want to trust him. We want to trust him, but it's hard to let go of what we think we need. I need recognition. I need you to affirm me. I need more money. I need this. I need that. I want these things. I want credit. I need some credit. I don't get any credit. I want credit. I just want a friend. I want a spouse. I want this. I want that. We want these things. And some of those things we want are good things. They're not bad things. And it's okay to, for God to know the desires of our heart, but can we trust him with the timing? Amen? Can we trust him in the meantime? I really would like money. I really would like money. But you don't really need money. You need your legs. Stand up in Jesus' name and walk. So as we prepare for communion today, here's my question. Is there any, kids too, kids in here, teenagers, adults, is there any part of your life and my life that isn't completely surrendered to Jesus? Here's an easy one, okay? Your tongue. Let's just make everybody uncomfortable all at once, okay? We'll just do it all at once because the mouth is the easiest thing to just let go. Is your mouth, is your words surrendered to Jesus? Are your feet surrendered to Jesus? Are you going where he wants you to go? Are you doing what he wants you to do? And for some of us, what would happen if you would trust God with the anxiety that you have because you wouldn't know what the plan is, and you laid down what you would like to see happen, and you simply said, God, I trust you. No matter where you take me, I trust you. In fact, this morning, if you just bow your heads and close your eyes for just a second, I want to give us an opportunity this morning to answer this question, or at least reflect on it. We're going to take 30 seconds of silence here. Because maybe God has pointed out to you the area in your life that you haven't surrendered to him. Maybe God has pointed out to you the plan that you won't let go of or you won't trust God's timing with. And what would happen if you just simply said, God, I trust you. God, here's the thing that I struggle to surrender to you. I give it back to you today. Just take a minute. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you love us. We thank you, thankful Lord, that you care about us. We thank you, Lord, that because the tomb is empty, we can receive grace, we can receive forgiveness, we can trust you, Father, because you finish what you start. Father, I can't possibly think of every scenario that represents each person in this room and online today, but you know each one of our situations. Father, if we need to today, would you help us just to surrender it to you? Help us to trust you with whatever it is you have for us. In Jesus' powerful name, everybody said, amen. Well, hey, this morning, would you mind taking out the, open up the wrapper there and grabbing the wafer there? We serve open communion, which means that if you've asked Jesus into your heart, doesn't matter if you go to church here or not, you're invited to partake in communion with us. And we take communion just to simply remember that it is finished. Amen? Amen? It's finished. He did what he said he would do. Jesus, his body was broken and his blood was poured out. So this morning, I encourage you to take the wafer today. Remember that Christ's body was broken for you, that he was beaten for you, that by his wounds, by his stripes, we are healed. Take the bread and remember that Christ's body was broken for you and be thankful. And then the Bible tells us that after supper, he took the cup. I mean, they had drank prior to this. It wasn't the first time they'd had something together, but he takes the cup and he says, this is the blood of my new covenant. It's been poured out for you. Christ's body was broken, but his blood was also shed for you and for me so that we could have a relationship with him. The Bible tells us that we can be called the righteousness of God. Well, how does that happen? Because we're born sinners. It's through his blood, amen? It's through the shedding of his blood that God can see us as righteous. Take the cup, take the juice, drink, and remember that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful. Let's stand together this morning.